Next to our sermon this morning, that gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, especially these words. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Far text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Follow me, Jesus says, to those fishermen casting their net, to Simon, and Andrew, James, and John, follow me. It's backwards for how the rabbis normally did things. Normally the rabbis would teach and preach and wait for people to follow them. But Jesus goes on the hunt for these four. And perhaps remarkably, they leave everything and follow Jesus. The nets, the fishing equipment, the boat, James and John leave their father and follow Jesus. Why? Jesus told them why just before. Jesus told you why just before. What Jesus began to do, he began and continued to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know what the word repent means, to turn from sin, to turn away from our sins and our sinful nature, to acknowledge that we are sinful before God, that we cannot save ourselves by anything that we do or think or offer to God, to turn to God and implore Him to do all the work. Thanks be to God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What words for Jesus to speak. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? Is it some far-off place in the sky that we're hoping to get to one day? Is it some great building that God builds for you and I to dwell in? What is this kingdom of God? Is it God's reign on earth in some kind of millennial, thousand-year kingdom where everything will be good? None of those. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus says, because Jesus is the kingdom. It fits, doesn't it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God and the fullness of God. And Jesus is the King and the Kingdom. Wherever Jesus is, there is the Kingdom of Heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is, and heaven breaks in on earth with the Incarnation. Jesus begins going around calling disciples to follow him, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is Jesus who is at hand. It is God himself who walks among his creation, calling sinners from their lives of sin to follow. And sinners hear the call and follow. Jesus proves that he is the kingdom of heaven, that he is God incarnate by word and work. His word to those disciples is powerful, powerful enough that they would leave their life, all that they had built, all they were working for, and follow Jesus. His word breaks the darkness of sin and turns sinners from their sins to see their Savior. His word proclaims sins forgiven. And Jesus shows who he is by his works. We see it right here in this text. Jesus begins going along and healing every dread disease. People flock to him from all over looking for healing, and Jesus heals them all. It's amazing, isn't it? That Jesus only calls those four, but casts the net wide enough to welcome everyone, anyone who would come and follow him, that he would make them fishers of men as well. Of course, we know the way it would go for Jesus. People would want the miracles, the great show, the entertainment, more than God's word. Jesus, you made bread for us. Why don't you do that again? No more sermons. No more difficult sayings about living forever in you and we must eat of your flesh to have life. None of that. Just give us more bread. Be our bread king, Jesus. Do another sign, another show. Keep us entertained, Jesus. Things haven't changed, have they? Still, people look for Jesus to entertain them. Is it enough that Jesus would forgive the sins of sinners by his powerful word? That he would work in our lives through word and sacraments? Well, shouldn't Jesus do more? Shouldn't he fix all of my relationships? Shouldn't he give me security and peace on earth? Shouldn't he give me all the wealth I could want so I can live however I want? Shouldn't Jesus wave that magic wand and make everything the way I want? When Jesus doesn't, it's easy for the crowds to walk away. Is it enough that Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? We contend with that sermon of Jesus, that we also would turn from our sins, acknowledging who we are before God, and turn to the kingdom of heaven, to Jesus. Jesus demands that you also follow him. He came to you in a more powerful way than he came to those disciples, to Peter and Andrew, to James and John. He comes to you through your baptism into him. Is it enough that he would join himself in his saving death to simple water, speaking your name and cleansing you from your sin? Is it good enough? Or do you need something more? Is it enough that Jesus, through his word, declares to you that all of your sins, every last one of them, is forgiven? Is it enough the kingdom of heaven comes so close to you to forgive you all your sins? Is it good enough? Is it enough that Jesus comes through simple bread and wine, giving you himself, that you would not doubt but firmly know and have confidence that he comes to you to forgive you all your sins? Is it enough? Is it enough that Jesus doesn't come to entertain you and delight all of your sinful fantasies? Is it enough that Jesus simply comes to forgive your sins, strength and faith, to bring you home to glory at last? Would you follow Jesus if he would just do that? Peter and Andrew, James and John followed. Although they didn't understand fully all that Jesus would do for them, when Pentecost came, they understood. They knew that he died for them, and it was indeed far more than enough. They needed nothing else from God than the forgiveness of sins won by their Savior on the cross, given to them in those sacraments. As Jesus implores you to follow him, let it be enough. His grace outpoured through word and sacrament. We need nothing else but Jesus only. In his name, amen.